In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Christ is in our midst.
He is our
Two men went up into the temple to pray. It doesn't get any plainer or more straightforward than that on this Sunday of the publican and Pharisee. Two men, one temple, one God. Who's going to win? Who will win God? Which will win God's favor? The publican, the tax collector? Father Ignatius illustrated for us vividly last week in speaking of Zacchaeus the publican as to the depth of the betrayal felt by the Jews toward their tax collectors as the lowest and worst traitors to God's people, and therefore viewed as great sinners and socially marginalized and universally condemned. The Pharisee, a member of the most popular religious group among the Jews, were the constant opponents of our Lord Jesus Christ, though he himself really was of the party of the Pharisees. The term Pharisee has strong negative connotations for Christian believers. We hear Christ's stirring condemnation of them ringing in our memory, "You scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites." But of the two parties of Judaism spoken of in the scriptures, the Pharisees and Sadducees, the Pharisees were the most popular. They were the people's party. The Sadducees were predominantly the party of the chief priests and elders of the upper classes, more aloof from the people. Phariseeism, having an enthusiasm for the righteousness of the law and its faithful observance, flourished in the local synagogues where Jews performed their regular worship. The temple, that special building in Jerusalem, the holiest place of the Jews, was the destination of special pilgrimage once or twice a year for most believing Jews. The Pharisees had added practices to everyday Judaism, some of which our Lord criticized. But the Pharisees looked down on those who failed to follow their letter of the law and looked down on them as sinners and as unclean. The Pharisees were scandalized that our Lord often kept company with the very sinners that they condemned. And they could not comprehend with their legalism that our Lord insisted that the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath, and that doing good on the Sabbath was more correct and more in the spirit of the law than the prescription to rest on the seventh day. So back to our parable. Two men, a publican and a Pharisee, with two agendas. The Pharisee came with his religious agenda to thank God that he was better than the sinners, the adulterers, the extortioners, the unjust men such as the publican standing over in the corner. The publican, condemned by the precepts of his own faith and by his own people as a traitor, came to beg God for mercy, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And according to our Lord, the prayer of the outcast was received as pleasing to God, and the prayer of the righteous man was rejected. Two men, two agendas, two plans of approach to God, and two extremely different self-opinions. One was using religion, the other was seeking reconciliation with God. Brothers and sisters, what is our agenda today? Everyone here has an agenda, more or less, probably unspoken. Maybe some have come wanting to impress others, or to impress God today, to gain religious points with God and men. In the parable, we see the religious agenda of the Pharisee swiftly dissected and rejected by Christ, the Son of God. God's not going to be bought off by superficial claims of righteousness. See, Lord, what I've done. See, I've taken the trouble to be in church today. The publican, the evil tax collector, came with no agenda, no plan other than the repentance agenda. He had no other agenda except, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And the Lord speedily accepts and embraces the repentance agenda. And the publican went away justified. For everyone that exalts himself shall be humbled, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted. Let's listen to the holy and great elders of Optina who echo the Lord's words. Saint Anatoly, the Lord hears the prayers of everyone. Only those of the proud does he not accept. But he always accepts the prayers of the humble and those who reproach themselves, who blame themselves. The Lord helps us. He cannot abandon us, for he loves us. Do we want our prayers to be accepted? Then they have to be filled with humility and no attempts at self-justification. St. Macarius of Optina, with humility the mind is pleasing to God, but with pride it is rejected. It is clear from this parable that God can be pleased or displeased with our approaches to him. St. Macarius of Optina again, we should not be attracted to ourselves, thinking that we are better than others. But we must consider ourselves to be the last of all. In this consists spiritual understanding and spiritual instruction. Don't be attracted to yourself. It sounds weird to hear it, but isn't it true? And certainly our young people are being taught this all the time by the worldly voice, to see their own attractiveness, and to exalt the flesh and the body. Could we say, he who exalts his flesh shall be humbled? And the Pharisee was definitely attracted to himself, but for religious reasons. And he failed to please God. He failed to please God with his self-promotion. One more from the elder, Saint Ambrose, who is the heart of the Optina family of elders. He says, everyone not only may, but they must be concerned about pleasing God. But how does one please him? First of all, through repentance and humility. Brothers and sisters, finally, whatever else our agenda may be, whatever our plan, the repentance and humility agenda is always front and center in Orthodoxy, and especially over the course of the next 2 months. Repentance and humility. Bowing down, falling down, emptying ourselves of our pockets of self-esteem and self-attraction and self-gratification. It's so simple and yet so profound. The Pharisee says to God, I'm good. And God says, no, you're not. The publican says, I'm no good. And God says, okay, you're good. Two men went up to the temple to pray. And so begins our lesson. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.